Okay, good evening. This is Tom Benton with the Grand Junction Regional Airport. I'm glad to see many people attending this evening. It's a nice day out here. Good evening to each of you. It's about 5:14. I'll do a quick sound check to make sure we have everybody's microphones working. Erling Braback, can you hear us okay?
Well, good evening, everybody. Yes, I can.
Very good. Ron Velarde, can you hear us okay?
Good evening. I can hear you well. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Clay Tuffley?
Yes, good evening.
Okay, so everybody's kind of remote here, just doing a quick call in to make sure you can hear us, etc. I'm not sure that Lindy Marshall has joined us yet, and I know Chuck is monitoring City Council results as we speak. So, Lindy, I see a phone number out there that may not be, that might be somebody else, but we'll just kind of wait here for another minute or two and then get started. That's true. Thaddeus was thinking he could be here this evening also.
Hey Tom, this is Sarah. I just wanted to let you know the phone number that you're seeing, the 434, is for FBI who's calling in with us this evening.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Sarah. Mm-hmm. We'll just give a couple more minutes for folks to join us this evening.
Mr. Chairman, Lindy just joined us. She may still be getting her audio going, but just wanted to let you know.
I'm here, thanks. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Lindy, for joining us. That will give us five, and we'll watch for Thaddeus to join us here pretty quick. So on behalf of the Grand Junction Airport Authority Board, I'd like to call the meeting to order. It's April 6th, 2021, at about 5:16. So again, thank you all for being here. We normally call out a quick roll call. So we'll do that, and then we'll have the national anthem. How would that be? Commissioner Braback, for the record.
I am here.
Thank you, sir. Commissioner Marshall.
I am here.
Very good. Commissioner Tuffley.
Present.
Commissioner Velarde.
Present.
And we know that Commissioner McDaniel has excused absence this evening. And one last quick call out for Commissioner Schrader. Oh, outstanding. Thaddeus, thank you for joining us. Okay, let's have the national anthem. Thank you, Sarah. Appreciate that. Let's go ahead and have a staff roll call so people know who else is on the line from the Grand Junction Airport Authority. Cameron, will you be doing that, or is Sarah going to do that?
I believe Sarah is.
Okay, Sarah, fire away.
All right, so on the call with us this evening, we have Angela Padalecki, Executive Director. We have Dylan Heverline, Director of Operations. Ben Peck, Director of Facilities. Cameron Reese, Contract Administrator and Board Clerk. Shayla Flesh, Accounting Coordinator, and myself, Sarah Mingy, Director of Finance. And actually, I apologize, I misspoke. Dylan actually has not joined us yet. He's in the office, but he's finishing up another call.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. Did we miss anybody there this evening? Doesn't sound like it. That's the beauty of Zoom. You can kind of tell who's there along the way. So thank you, Sarah, for the call out to each one of the members, and appreciate their attendance as well this evening. Also have counsel for the Airport Authority, Dan Reimer, has joined us. A number of professionals that assist the airport with FCI, Mead and Hunt. Do we have a Garber representative on tonight also?
No Garber, no, but Garber. We do have several folks from FCI.
Very good. Well, it's nice to have each of you joining us this evening. We'll look forward to commentary as we go through our agenda this evening. We do have two items on the agenda this evening, a consent agenda item for the elevator escalator repair and maintenance service contract, and an action item from FCI construction contract for rental car facilities and terminal improvements, as well as followed up by a discussion on the airport development project updates. Those are the items I have on the agenda. Staff, are there any changes or amendments to the agenda?
No.
Thank you. Commissioners, anything on the agenda that you have questions about relative to if we needed to move anything around on the agenda this evening? Okay. Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda as prepared this evening. Mr. Tuffley, would you be willing to offer an amendment to approve the agenda as presented?
So moved.
Thank you. Commissioner Brayback, would you be willing to offer a second?
I will second it.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded that the agenda presented this evening be approved as presented. I'll do a real quick roll call vote for that. Commissioner Brayback?
Aye.
Commissioner Tuffley?
Aye.
Commissioner Schrader?
Aye.
Commissioner Marshall?
Aye.
And Commissioner Velarde?
Aye.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate that. Commissioner comments this evening. I might offer just a couple. I want to send my appreciation to Dylan and Angela. I understand that we had a very robust tenant meeting last week. Heard from a few pilots saying there was excellent attendance. Appreciate their preparation for that meeting, and of course appreciate the tenants and their feedback for activity that the airport is doing out here. So hats off to Dylan. I think that was his first major presentation before attendance.
Yep.
Let's see, this last week. So Dylan, great job if you've joined us. If not, we'll pat you on the back when we see you in person. Also want to extend my appreciation to Commissioners Lindy Marshall, Erling Brayback, and Ron Velarde for your meeting last week in continuing to advance the cause for review of our governance documents as they deem necessary. So thank you all for your attendance for that and your time. Greatly appreciate it.
Yeah.
Tom?
Yes, sir.
This is Erling. I just want to, for the record, say that I was not part of the meeting. I had withdrawn from that committee as well.
Okay.
As there already are two commissioners, I really don't believe three is needed for that. So to avoid any issues with having to schedule it as a meeting, public meeting and a hearing and such, I thought it was just least intrusive if I just, as the last guy in that bucket, withdraw from that. So I, in fact, did not attend the meeting.
Okay, thank you, Erling. I appreciate the point of clarification for that, and I certainly appreciate your efforts in other ways. Anything else from commissioners this evening?
Mr. Chairman, this is Lindy. I'm having some technical issues with my Zoom, so I'm going to log off and log right back on.
Okay, thank you for that notice. We'll watch for you to rejoin us. Anything else from commissioners this evening? Are we aware of any public comments submitted?
Mr. Chairman, no, we have no citizen comments tonight.
Okay, again, would offer, if there are members out there listening in, if you have things you'd like to share with the airport board, we certainly give citizens that opportunity at the start of our meeting. Generally speaking, 3 minutes or so is allocated per participant. If you have another topic longer than that, please let us know, but always interested in knowing what tenants or citizens in this community want to share with the Regional Airport Authority Board and staff. So thank you for the opportunity and just letting you know. Okay, let's move on to the consent agenda approval. this evening. So we do have, as mentioned before, elevator and escalator repair and maintenance service contract. And what we'll do for purpose of approving is the consent agenda is ask for commissioner to see if they'd be interested in offering that motion to approve it. And for purposes of Zoom, sometimes it's easier just to call on commissioners. It's hard to see a raised hand. So Commissioner Velarde, would you be willing to offer a motion to approve the consent agenda this evening?
Yes, Chairman. I would ask the board accept the consent agenda for the elevator and escalator repair and maintenance service contract.
Thank you, sir. Commissioner Marshall, would you be willing to offer a second?
Yes, sir. I'll second that motion.
Very good. We have good sound from you on this end. Yeah, that's good.
Okay, great. I think we fixed it.
Thank you. All right, so we'll do a roll call vote for the approval of the consent agenda this evening. Commissioner Brayback.
Aye.
Commissioner Tuffley.
Aye.
Commissioner Schrader.
Aye.
Commissioner Marshall.
Aye.
Commissioner Velarde.
Aye.
And the chair votes in approval as well. Motion carries. Thank you. Okay, the next item on the agenda is our discussion item on the agenda, and that is the FCI construction contract for the rental car facilities and terminal improvements this evening. Everybody's had a chance to review some of the documents prepared for that, but we'll go through a presentation. I know it's been reviewed by our executive director and legal counsel, and presenting that this evening will be
me,
our executive director, Angela Padalecki. So thank you for being here. I look forward to the presentation.
Thank you, and thank you to commissioners for allowing us to have this special board meeting. This is a project that we are really excited about. We want to make sure that it's clear. You know, this represents about 2 years of work in coordination with the TSA to really improve the efficiency at our security checkpoint. This one it feels like pretty major surgery in the terminal, both the checkpoint project and replacing the rental car counters, especially for those stakeholders. So this is one where it's been heavily coordinated, and we have presented to you before, you know, back when you approved the design, and then last month we presented the budget numbers or the cost numbers once FCI received bids back, and we also explained that we were able to make a couple of scope modifications without increasing and going over what we had budgeted in our capital plan. So we're really excited about that. As a reminder, those scope additions were adding a 20-ton rooftop unit in the upper boarding area to supplement the 40-ton unit that we have, which is undersized for the secure area, replacing the sprinkler system in the tower and making improvements, and then getting through the list of structural repair items that Stan Stoll recommended as part of that report. So we are really excited to move forward on this project. What you have before you is the contract. That's a standard AIA contract. And I know there were quite a few questions on that, but I think thank you to Sarah for answering questions so well, and thanks to commissioners for their engagement. Since we've talked about this project several times, I really just wanted to open it up for questions.
Questions from commissioners?
Angela.
Go ahead, Erling.
Yeah, I have a few of them, and I guess I should start with, in layman terms, the, what do we say, that portion, the ownership portion, what is that, the roughly $100,000 that was added in there?
Oh, sorry. Oh, do you mean the owner's contingency?
Yes, just, that's the part I'm just trying to make sure I understand what that means, to own a contingency of $100,000 and looks like $100,173.
So what that is that's typically in a construction project like this, you have contingency that's included in the contractor budget. We call that contractor contingency. So that's contingency that the contractor can use to ensure that they can meet the requirements of the project should unexpected things pop up, costs overrun, things like that. And then the owner contingency represents contingency that we're holding in reserve. It's the airport's money. And if we have an issue pop up where the contractor contingency cannot fully cover it, it provides us that additional contingency to tap into. And this is very common in construction projects. So what you see, the contractor contingency is 5% of the total project cost, so they have that. You know, let's say that, I don't know, maybe when we're doing the structural repairs, some additional issue is identified and it makes sense to address it right now. And they, the contractor could come to us and say, hey, you know, we're early in the project. I think we probably should use owner contingency for this. This is actually like a small change in the scope almost in addition to it. And so we would then release that funding. There's significant paperwork involved between FCI and the airport, but this is standard practice. And what it does is it provides a more accurate budget for the project that is an achievable budget. We will only pay for the work that actually is completed, and we will, we've historically, you know, projects have come in under budget and we've not had to use the full contingency, but it's there just in case you run into issues, which is fairly common in a building like ours that is a few decades old. Does that answer your question?
It does, but it begs another one then. How comfortable are you in negotiating, excuse me, or mitigating when to use the owner contingency or when to, in this case, hold the contractor to their budgeted proposed price? Who and how comfortable do you feel like in making that decision of where does the funds come from? Do we cover it or do the contractor under the bid process?
I feel very comfortable. So, you know, this is the same practice that we followed on the other three contracts we've had with them. And this is common practice. So this is the same practice that we used when we did projects back when I was in Denver as well. And frankly, this is still comparable to what we do on all other construction projects that we have inside and outside the fence. And so I feel comfortable. And I want to point out, too, that what you see listed here, this is all our money. We're not guaranteeing them any amount of funding for this. We're going to pay for the work that is performed. And that's why you have such an extensive document. So in construction, sometimes you have guaranteed minimum price contracts. And that's where that negotiation, it's a bit more robust because you need to ensure that you're not paying for something twice. And I think that's probably part of what you're asking about. And here, that's not the situation because we are, you know, we're going to pay for the work that's actually performed.
Okay. I believe I just have one more question then. On the rental car funded projects, what in more detail could you share real quick behind the facility, should we just call it that?
Do you mean the scope of the project?
In the package here, it says, I guess, back office improvements. What is that?
Sure, and thanks for switching the slide, Sarah. So the back office improvements include, actually it makes sense to start kind of at the front. So with the terminal improvements that we made inside the building, you know that we replaced the flooring, we've painted, right? And then we replaced the lighting in the public area of the rental car areas. And that was done as part of the past project. For this project, we're actually replacing the rental car counters. We're actually relocating the doors to the rental car offices. Right now, they're on the left side when you face the counters. We're moving them to the right side. That helps contain the rental car companies in their lease space and their queuing. Right now, because the door is located on the left side, people tend to congregate right there, drivers and things, and they're actually congregating in the queuing space for the adjacent counter. So we are fixing that alignment. We're moving it to the right side. So you'll see that door move. Then as you go back into the office spaces, back there, we're basically doing the same improvements that we did in the public area of the terminal that you saw before. We're doing this to all of the rental car companies, so it's fair and equitable. We're replacing the flooring, it'll be carpet. We're painting, and we are replacing the ceiling grid and the lighting in there. The other big rental car project we have is an area that the airport that most folks have probably never noticed as you're exiting the rental car area. We actually have a fuel site and there's vacuums over there, there's equipment. And so we are installing a fuel canopy over that area, much like you see at a fuel station. And that'll help protect our assets, and it also is something that they're really excited about. As you can imagine, on a rainy day when they're trying to clean cars, it's a little bit more challenging when you don't have that area covered. Sun protection is nice, things like that. So that's something that the folks locally are probably more excited about that than they are about the rental car counter project overall.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a good investment anyway, since we own the building anyway, and the upkeep of it improving. So, okay, well, that clarified everything. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep. And as a reminder, those are CFC funds. So we talk about PFCs and CFCs. PFCs are the passenger facility charges that airline passengers pay on their tickets. Those are restricted funds to certain projects in the airport. CFCs are for car rentals, and those are fees administered as part of car rentals. It's per car rental day at the airport. And so those funds are dedicated to car rental facilities. And so the car rental activities, and big thanks to FCI for divvying things up fairly and appropriately so that we can keep our accounting in check. But the rental car projects are all funded using that CFC funding, which we are not allowed to use for other purposes.
Thank you, Erling, for your questions. Additional questions from commissioners this evening?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Schrader, I just wanted to thank airport staff for the overlap throughout this last week and providing the additional detailed budget for our review prior to the meeting. My questions about whether or not we had considered a line item for hazmat abatement. Thanks, Sarah, for helping me understand that because we had done so many projects in the terminal and tore into the old infrastructure a number of times, understood that that was not going to be a problem. We didn't need that material. There was a few other line items that we went through and really helped me understand the budget quite a bit. I just had a small, the fuel canopy structure is a 54 by 63 foot structure. Is that, in my mind, I've got this idea that it's like a refueling station on the side of the highway where there's a large flat umbrella of shaded space over the fuel dock. Is that what we're looking at there? It's a $184,000 installation.
That is the correct facility. Are you asking if you're lining up the number to the project correctly?
No, I'm trying to envision what that is. It's a 54 by 63 foot area, a canopy structure, and then it's $3,400 per square foot, and which ends up being $184,790. All the math is fine, it all works out, but I just trying to understand what is that $184,000 thing?
It's the fuel canopy, right?
Yeah, the fuel canopy. So right now it's not covered. And so we're paying for that whole canopy. And Sarah, I know you have a few of our old slides in here. Do you happen to have a picture of that one? No problem if not.
I don't actually have an image of it, but I think that is the easiest way for me to understand it was thinking about when you go to a gas station, the awning that covers the fuel pumps there, that's essentially what it'll be.
So there's a significant amount of foundation and structural infrastructure embedded inside of that. That number makes a lot more sense if you consider the wind load that's on it. Okay, that's the only question I had.
And we did size that. It's oversized versus what you might see typically in a rental car facility, just to ensure that as industries evolve, you know, if we wanted to bring a small RV company in, rental car company, we're starting to see those move into airports, things like that, that we can actually accommodate that. So like a Sprinter van, those types of vehicles. So it hates the dimensions of it. It's like, oh, that kind of seems like a huge awning for a Chevy Malibu. That's why.
No, that tracks. I mean, we're busy putting in a, 10,000 foot runway and hopefully some wide bodies in the next few years. And I mean, even just expanding the rental car facility makes sense. So that all tracks together.
Okay. Thanks, Thaddeus. And I think we do have Dave Ash and Justin Mendenhall joining us this evening also. They may wish to comment on what wind load, snow loads, and why is it $300 a square foot or something of that nature? But my guess is the architectural construction of that, engineering requirements in there probably put it up so that it's much more expensive than, let's say, a pole barn or something of that nature.
Yeah.
This is Dave Ash. Yeah, that's Thaddeus, just like Sarah had said, it's just like if you drove down the street to stop and save, you know, and yes, we have to take out some concrete paving, yeah, so we can dig in the large footings that go underneath that. And along with that, we're bringing over some conduits and stuff to get some other communications and possibly some surveillance in that area as well.
When you're, for the foundation, are you going spread foot, or is that going to be a deep pile that holds that sucker up in the wind?
No, it's just a big chunk of concrete. Now, the way that typically works is the canopy company themselves have their in-house structural engineers, and because this is a very specialized item, they deal with us every day, so we let them size that chunk of concrete to hold up and hold down their canopy. So yes, it's not a deep foundation per se, just a big massive concrete.
Just big. Got it. Thank you.
Yes, this is Justin. Just to clarify, it's about $62, almost $63 a square foot for that 54 by 63 foot canopy, which is 3,402 square feet.
Very good. Appreciate the attention to detail there. Dave, Justin, thanks for weighing in and giving some additional insight to commissioners this evening. Additional questions? I just had one, and it's not relative to FCI's budget, but it's more along the lines of our capital expense budget. And Sarah, thank you for highlighting what these cover inside of our budget going forward. There's a couple of priority ones that did not get highlighted in there, and I think one is installed terminal trench drains, addresses the terminal movement of $40,000, and replace worm drives in both baggage claim carousels. And the scope of incorporating those, the sense was it just didn't fit at the moment, or we want to defer those costs to 2022, or what is the piece of that? Give me some insight there.
This is Sarah, and I actually think, Ben, if you want to jump in, really the reason we didn't include these in the FBI scope is because we have our own staff internally that have actually done a lot of the labor and work on these improvements in the past. So these costs really represent the purchase of the materials to implement that, and Ben's team will actually complete some of those repairs. But Ben, if you want to add a little more context to that, since those are kind of in your area.
Yeah, I can. Mr. Chairman, so the $40,000 to get the water away from the terminal foundation is all being done in-house. What the numbers represent there are materials. So we have, I believe, seven trench drains that we were looking to use, as well as the concrete. We'd be doing the labor in-house and the install. And then as far as the worm drives, that number represents us removing a worm drive from a baggage carousel. Since they're no longer produced, having a company essentially reverse engineer this thing and create a new one from an existing. So it's, like I said, it's all kind of work that my staff would be doing.
Thank you, Ben. Sarah, appreciate that. And it's nice to see our priority one projects getting accomplished here in Q1. Addressed, if you will, and approved in Q2 here, and projects underway Q2, Q3, looks like. So very timely. Appreciate your attention to wrapping these up. So thank you for being inclusive and sharing that insight. Additional questions?
Chairman, this is Erling. I just got one real quick question. I want to make sure I read it correctly. This is all on us, right? Besides the CSEs, there's no federal funds or any FAA match or anything. This is all on us. Is that correct?
That's correct, Erling.
And that's okay. That was part of our budgeted items that we had
right
from last year. So.
Right. Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Very good. All right. Additional questions from commissioners this evening, or any commentary that you guys at FCI think we should know about that we didn't ask? Dave? Justin?
This is Dave. No, I think Angela did a good job of covering all that, and it's going to be a, it looks small on paper, but it's very challenging logistically, and we're putting a lot of effort into making sure we can get that smooth transition through TSA.
Yeah, that looks like a critical element here for us, Dave and Justin. I think it's we looked at the Gantt chart that you provided. Thank you for doing that. Timing looks sensitive, challenging from that perspective. So, and it sounds like logistically you guys have had several meetings to try and make sure that works in that sort of that time frame.
Yep, and lots of meetings with TSA. You know, it took a little while to get them engaged, but once we did, it's worked out well.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Do you
we've got a great team working on that. So
it sounds like there's clarity on both sides, Dave. Their understanding of what the process is going to look like and how it affects them.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you for that assurance.
And just so commissioners are aware, you know, as part of this project, in order to make those improvements at TSA and switch around the equipment, you know, we will be down to just one security checkpoint lane. We have two lanes. We'll be down to just one for the better part of May. So we are working, and I'm so grateful for the FCI team, especially the superintendent that they've assigned is just doing a fabulous job, really being surgical about what can happen where and how we minimize impacts. And so I want commissioners to know that we have this under control, but this feels like heart surgery, but we're acting like it's heart surgery. So we will be coordinating with the media when we get a little bit closer to make sure that we can let the public know what to expect, and that you know you should probably show up a few minutes earlier for your flights in the month of May just to be on the safe side, things like that. But you know, this is a good problem to have. We see demand coming back, and we're getting this project done what feels like just in time, because frankly, we expect or hope that this will be our busiest summer ever. And this project is going to really improve the throughput rate of the checkpoint. So better now than later, but May is going to be tricky.
Yeah, and that's really a good point about public messaging out there. If it, you know, when this kicks off, I think we're up to 15 flights a day. I mentioned that, I saw that last week, and that's up substantially from where we were a year ago this time, certainly. And almost back to the 2019 levels as far as number of flights. So it'll be busy. I think public messaging and multiple fronts to let folks know to show up early is an absolute wonderful thing to do. Daily Sentinel coverage, whatever we can do just to alert folks, because people in Grand Junction are kind of accustomed to showing up 30 minutes before their flight leaves. So.
Yep.
It's a good opportunity there, so thank you. Anything else this evening, commissioners? Okay, I'll entertain a vote, or motion, excuse me, motion for approval of the SCI construction contract, rental car facility, and terminal improvement projects. Commissioner Marshall, would you be willing to offer that motion?
Yes, sir. I will make a motion to approve the proposed contract with FCI Constructors to make the rental car facility improvements and terminal improvements for a gross maximum contract price of $1,323,827. Hope that. Approve a budgeted owner contingency of $100,173 for the project and authorize the executive director to sign the contract and authorize change orders within the budgeted contingency amount, in accordance with the purchasing and procurement policy.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner Marshall. Appreciate that. Well done. Commissioner Velarde, would you be willing to offer a second?
Chairman, I offer a second. Sean Velarde.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Roll call vote. Commissioner Tuffley.
Aye.
Commissioner Schrader.
Aye.
Commissioner Brayback.
Yes, sir.
Commissioner Marshall.
Yes, sir.
Commissioner Velarde?
Aye.
And the chair votes in approval as well. So motion carries. Thank you all for weighing in and having good commentary on that. And again, Sarah, thank you for providing additional information early on. That was very advantageous. Okay, the next item up is for our airport development plan update discussion. Angela, are you leading us in that?
Yes, and on the phone, I think we have Brian Moore as well. Brian, are you on?
Yes, I am here.
Great.
Good evening.
Great. So we just wanted to check in with the board. This is a project, this is a big project. We're going to be checking in every month, but just wanted to check in with the board and let you know that we remain roughly on schedule. So what you see on the screen is the anticipated timeline that we've been working with. We developed this with FAA. So we developed the scope of the NERVISIS in February. We spent the month of March working with the FAA, processing their feedback, incorporating it, going back and forth. We're waiting for final comments from them. We expect those anytime. Sarah has lined up the firm to complete the IFE, that independent fee evaluation, so that we can negotiate fee. And the FAA still anticipates that they'll award the grant to us in Q2. I want to take a step back and talk for just a moment on AIP grants. Late last week, the FAA announced that the first big round of AIP grants. I'm excited to share that we are part of that. In their announcement, it showed Grand Junction getting a $6.3 million grant. That's actually the sum of two grants. So we, they are working on the draft now, and will send us draft grant agreements for the runway and taxiway rehab project. And that's the one that we designed last year. Garber designed that pretty quick, had bids in hand. And that's why we're able to capture this money so early in the season. And then also the design only grant for the runway prism design that Needham Hunt has been working on. So the $6.3 million actually represents those two projects in total, but only the 90% funding portion. So it doesn't include the 10% match that will be covered based on the last round of relief. And we're working with them. They are anticipating that that will be included, so it's just one grant. But they're still drafting. We really hope so. We don't want to get two grants for each one. But there'll be one grant for the runway and taxiway rehab. There'll be one grant for the runway design, the runway prism design. And we hope both will just be funded at that 100% rate. So that will likely come before you for action at the April board meeting. We anticipate that the next round of grant funding in the next couple of months should include the funding for the airport development plan. So just wanted to check in case you see anything in the media about that. We will be coordinating with the media on those grants. Typically the media covers those when the approval process starts, but because this big announcement was made by the FAA, we anticipate we could hear from them a bit earlier, and we are receiving the largest award in Colorado. So switching back to the airport development project, Q2, we anticipate the FAA grants, and then we anticipate kicking off the project early this summer. So want to make sure we're just providing, you know, with broad brushstrokes framework for what the project will look like. We anticipate the duration will be about 18 months, but it's the first 6 months where we'll answer most of those key questions that I know you all are eager to get answers to, and so are we, and so are our tenants and stakeholders, such as where and how are we going to build more GA facilities? What's the highest and best use of different parcels of land around the airport? What are the trigger points for airport expansion, parking, gates, et cetera? And then what revenue generating projects should be prioritized? This is just a sample of those questions that we'll be able to answer, but a lot of the intensive and highly coordinated work with, I would say our key local stakeholders will happen that first 6 months. And then in months 6 through 18, it'll focus more on technical documents and long range planning. So the ALP, the airport layout plan, you know, those updates and coordination with the FAA. So just want to kind of set the framework for the board that I think it's going to be, we sure hope that it'll be this year that we spend the majority of our time on this work, the collective, we being the board and staff. And then it'll be the InterVistas team and their sub-consultants who will really be working on the technical documents next year. Any questions?
Okay, questions for Angela on this? This strikes me as pretty significant with what's going on. Angela made it sound like it's pretty easy, but this is a pretty significant endeavor, especially dealing with the FAA for their review and getting their attention in a development project update and the project kickoff and integrating stakeholders with the airport on what this is going to look like. I think this is a great time for us to be connected, if you will, in this process, because there's a lot going on with this, and it's not easy to do from that perspective. So looking forward to how we can integrate with that and stay current along the way. Certainly there's some interesting bullet points here. What's the highest and best use of parcels of land? Who's to say, you know, who needs to be at the table for that? How do we plan and build more GA facilities? This is all pretty extensive for this airport. So this is a big economic time for our community and our airport. So looking forward to Brian, your engagement with this and kind of how that goes forward. And looking forward to your thoughtful insights and also gathering up feedback from the stakeholders that we have here.
Brian, do you have anything else to add?
No, I would just say that, you know, in those first few months, there's a lot of activity, as Angela said, where I think we can do a lot of work and answer.
We may have lost you, Brian.
Okay,
you're back now, I think.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. I don't know what, I'm using my phone for Zoom tonight, so that's a new thing. I would just add that there is a storytelling to this work in that there is a fair amount of stakeholder engagement. And the reason for that is so that obviously feedback can be gained from stakeholders who are tenants of the airport, who would like to be tenants of the airport, who you're sort of bringing along for a journey. So the process takes longer than the actual analytical work, but it's very valuable in just continuing to build rapport with the community. So I think that is, as Angela said, we can answer a lot of questions in the first 6 months, but then kind of convincing everyone of the merit. Plan and getting feedback from everybody, including me, a little bit longer, and that's why you see that schedule drawn out for 18 months. And I'm happy to take any questions.
So I think one of the things that probably comes up out of this, you know, Brian, we haven't worked with you before. I know Angela's had connections and those kind of things. What does this look like? Is it kind of like what CDOT does when they're going to plan a new road and they have public sessions where you can see proposed designs and there's pieces of paper where people can comment and that kind of thing? Or what is the structure for gathering feedback from your perspective?
Sure, there's a couple of things. First of all, one of the typical elements is something we usually call, and I think we called it in the scope, well, I know we called it, a technical advisory committee. And that is a group of people that the authority would invite for a series of meetings throughout the 18-month process at different milestones in the project, for which we would present some analytical information, but we would also be asking questions of the attendees. It's an advisory group in that they don't have an approval role. but you're seeking their input and you're sharing the decisions that you're making along the way. So for example, if we do a forecast of future demand, we would present that forecast of future demand first to the authority, and then once the authority is comfortable with that forecast, we would then share that with the technical advisory group, and let them comment upon it, let them hear it, and again, you're kind of telling this story over time. So that committee would meet probably 5 times throughout the process. So that's one component. There is a second component, which would be something that would look like a public open house. So very much like CDOT building a road. At the public open house, you would present items from the process that you think the public would be interested in. And most often is the case for airport development plans. The thing that we present is mostly the capital improvement program that's coming out of the project, the cost estimates associated with the capital improvements that are part of the recommendations, and the schedule for the development of said project, and that type of thing. And of course, we take the opportunity to remind the general public how airport funding in the United States works, and that, you know, no local tax dollars are used for airport improvements, or not typically. So we would do that. It's also an opportunity for the authority to sort of further whatever public awareness campaign, whatever kind of facts, figures, economic impact, the types of things that you want to push out to the community for broader awareness, that open house provides that opportunity.
Thank you.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. It really does. I think when we think of an airport development project update, I think commissioners are a little bit more current than the average consumer out there that, okay, is this a new master plan or is this a subset of the master plan? So is there a way to provide some guidance on the front end of this so that it doesn't look like we're starting from scratch kind of a deal? Or how do we integrate the master plan in messaging that the airport development project is a subset, if you will, of that?
So I think, you know, the very first technical advisory committee meeting, we would be going over the scope of work, the overall arc of the schedule for the project. We would certainly be talking about the work that came before this study and how this study would build upon that work. And you are correct. The airport has a good master plan on file, and the airport development plan is really a subset of a master planning process.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Brian.
Here we're focused on terminal and link.
Okay. We may have lost you again there for a second, Brian.
I'm here.
Okay.
Very
good. I think we caught that. You answered the question well. Is there any piece of this that we need to integrate our neighbors to the east and west in some process that might have like development projects that might be occurring to the west of us here, to the east of us? And what's our process for notifying people within that 2,500 foot zone or something of that nature?
So I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, my phone broke up a little bit, but I think the question was, do you coordinate with the airport? Do you coordinate with those folks? Thanks, Sarah, for that text message. Can you guys hear me okay now?
Yes. Off and on.
bear with me. I'm...
Okay. I think.
I'm turning off my Wi-Fi because I'm sure why this isn't working. Can you hear me okay now?
We can. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay. So I think your question, I'm sorry for that. Your question was about the coordination with off airport development to the east and the west. Is that correct?
Yes.
So there is a component there. Certainly the airport layout plan that Angela referenced is a document that includes, you know, several plan sheets that depict airport development, but also look off the ends of the airport's runways to make sure that the airspace is protected, to make sure that the airport can fulfill its core mission of being an airport. So in that respect, that's one way that we take into account off airport development. But it is also the case that if the authority chooses, you can look a little bit more of the land use off airport, look at zoning regulations, coordinate with the city on those types of issues as well, so that the airport land that's surrounding the airport is as compatible with airport land use as possible.
Yeah, I think when the Mesa County hears the word development project, there's a lot of folks that say, oh, okay, this falls within the city of the city development codes or the county development codes, whatever the case may be. But I just think we need to be kind of cognizant of when we're doing something of this scope and size, to be a good neighbor in this process and just alert those kind of alert people that might be impacted close to us. And it's obviously going to be for the better, but just to keep them advised of what's going on out here.
I think that makes good sense. So,
anything else for Brian this evening? Brian, appreciate you being here with us. I appreciate your engagement with the airport. We're looking forward to this opportunity because it's what we do in the next 18 months could be tremendous, or will be good benefits for our community if we plan accordingly to be sensitive to the opportunities that will be forthcoming. Our community anticipates and is experiencing a pretty high rate of growth in the residential market. Commercial markets will follow along those lines as our MSA grows in size. So I think we need to be visionary as we go forward, you know, with what we're planning. So thanks for your engagement.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time this evening.
Okay. Any other business before the board this evening, commissioners? I know we've had a couple of folks drop off. I think Ron had to leave, but anybody else this evening? Hearing none, it's 6:07, and we'll officially adjourn the meeting. Can I have a motion for adjournment, Commissioner Brabeck?
I was going to say, I'd be happy to take that easy one after the last hard one I have.
Thank you, Lindy. So Lindy's moved. Lindy's moved that we adjourn. Could I have a second? Commissioner Schrader.
Second.
Very good. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Everybody can
aye.
Thank you. Have a great week, everybody. Everyone. See you in a couple of weeks.
Goodbye.
Wasn't exactly roll call, but what the heck. So we're close enough.
So. It's the days where Monday and day of are stressful.